Rick Barry, I'm just curious. I think I hear a microwave. I think I hear a cutting board. What's for dinner, Rick?
That was a microwave. My wife is fixing up. My youngest son is here back visiting with us, and we're going to have dinner tonight. But I'm good. The dinner's not going to be ready for a while.
Nice. Well, hopefully the mise en place is going very well. Speaking of your son, Rick, if we were putting together the all-time Bay Area top 10 list, where the genetics that you passed on to your children were a part of the equation, you, sir, are number one with a bullet, based on the fact that five sons have had professional basketball careers, three reaching all the way to the NBA. That is extraordinary. Outside of the Sutter family in hockey, we are spinning our minds trying to find more family members in sports. I think the Berries might hold the record in basketball. Do you know of any other family that has put five pros out there?
Well, not just the Bay Area. Just think of all sports. I don't think it's ever happened. And actually, my other son, Canyon, is still playing. He's in the G League, but certainly good enough to be in the NBA. But you got to get the break to be able to have that happen for him. And hopefully that will. And he hopefully will be playing in the Olympics next year, because he's on the qualifying team. He was on the World Cup team for 3x3. And it's the only gold medal the USA had won. And last year they won it in June over at Amsterdam. He led the team in scoring in four of the seven games. And then they have to go and qualify for the Olympics, which is mind-boggling to me that you can win the World Championship and not qualify for the Olympics. But that's the FIBA rules. But he had to try out again to see if he'd be chosen for this qualifying team. And he made it. They were actually training with before the coronavirus to hit. They were supposed to go to India. And if they finish third, and I think the tournament is next May now, and if they finish third or better, they'll qualify for the Olympics. So that would be an incredible accomplishment for him. But maybe someday he's still plenty young to have a chance to play in the NBA. But somebody's missing out on a pretty darn good player, because he's certainly every bit as good as my other players, and they had long careers. But I'm hoping that he gets the opportunity to do that. But he already experienced something I told him that I never did. I never got to play on a world championship team or get to go to the Olympics as well, and neither did his brothers. So he's already had something very special happen to him. But he's a great kid and a good player, and it's pretty remarkable. I was hoping I'd have one kid that maybe would, play basketball, that to have five get Division I college scholarships and all five play professionally. It's pretty remarkable. The odds on that have to be astronomical.
Everybody talks about the 75 year, and for good reason. Very few people talk about the 67 year, which was your second year in the league, the year you put up your best individual numbers, and you got to the finals against Philadelphia. What did you learn from that experience that you took in 75 in terms of, we've been at this stage before, I understand how this works, et cetera?
That's actually a very good question. I'll tell you, it's the first time anybody has ever asked me that question in all these years, so kudos to you for that. I actually learned not to get myself so emotionally involved in the game and work myself up so much, because what you learn as you get more experience is that it takes a lot of energy out of your body. So you have to learn to be able to control that emotion, not get so worked up, so that you contain, you maintain the energy level that you should have to play. Otherwise, you get a little bit tired and run out of gas. And so that's the one thing that I learned more than anything else, is to be ready to go out and play the game the way I played it all the other time. Hey, even though there's a great importance on each one of those games, you can't let yourself get so psyched up that you just drain your energy. That's probably the one thing that I learned from it. And I also learned something else from the one when we lost in 76. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to go back again and learn from that, which would have been, I wish I should have been the SOB that everybody thought I was, and told them in game seven against the Phoenix Suns, give me the goddamn ball. And just take the damn game over. And I was just going along with what was going. If I look back on that, if there's one thing I would change, that would be it. I would be doing something. I was trying to just keep team basketball doing. We still had a chance to get back in it. I would have done it. I had the first half, and I didn't see the ball very much in the second half. And I think the one thing that caused the problem for that is that Butch Beard was such an important part of our championship team as well. Didn't get the recognition at all. And then he got traded away. Wait till you hear this one. I don't know if you haven't heard this before. Butch Beard was traded away because the general manager didn't want to deal with his wife. And that's a true story.
What?
That is a true story. did not make the team, stay on the team because he didn't want to deal and felt that. And we had a great player. Gus Williams is a heck of a player. And then I'd say a prayer for him, folks, because he's not doing well physically. But Gus was there. And with Butch being there, I can tell you, I never, ever, with Butch Beard on our team, went an extended period of time without the ball being in my hands. You know, Al didn't call all the plays, but Butch always made sure that I got the ball and did the kind of things necessary because I think I was a very unselfish player, loved to create opportunities for my teammates. And I don't think we would have lost if Butch Beard was on the team and we would have won back-to-back championships because there's no way Boston could have beaten us. They beat Phoenix in a very controversial series, as you remember, with the famous, you know, Richie Powers. I chose to ignore his request when Paul Silas asked for a timeout. I was broadcasting that game, and I had Mindy Rudolph, one of the officials, and he said, well, that's the right call. I said, you must be joking. I said, your job is to go ahead. If a player asks for a timeout, you're supposed to call a timeout. And he chose to ignore his request. That was the words from Richie Powers. He should have been suspended. And it cost the Phoenix Suns a chance to win that unbelievable triple overtime game that Boston wound up winning and may have cost them a chance to win the title. So, anyway, that's the one thing that I would have done differently.
Going back to what you just said about playing unselfishly, we talked a little earlier about this, and I know my dad talking about you when I was growing up as his favorite player talked about you as the original point forward. Is that something you ever heard during your career or that you thought about at all, or you were just going about your day playing team basketball, not worried about it?
No, I just played the game. I mean, and I heard the word people came up with doing it, but I would get a rebound and just, you know, take it right away and go up the court. And now if somebody's ahead of you, and this is one of the things that bothers me in the game today. I mean, I've watched so many teams and, you know, games played. The ball isn't always advanced. The ball should be advanced. If somebody's up the court, throw the ball to the guy who's ahead of the pack. Play fast break basketball. Use the athleticism of these incredible players. Don't dominate the basketball like the Houston Rockets and what Harden does. I mean, just, and that's what I did. And I brought it up to court. It's the funny thing is everybody said, oh my God, Rick Barry can really handle the ball. Hey, my bad ball handling skills are so minuscule compared to what even my youngest son does. These two ball drills and the stuff that guys do today. Coaches would never let you do that stuff back when I was growing up. I could dribble lefty, righty, and a crossover. That was the extent of my great ball handling skills. If I were playing today, which I could play today, I would have to be a better ball handler. But that's not difficult. You get in the gym, you get balls, you practice the drills, and you'll get to be a better ball handler. That's something that you can learn if you have any talent whatsoever. But that's the one area of the game that I would have to work on to improve on if I were playing in today's game. But I have players come up to me, or not players, but people come up to me and say, you know, you guys would not be able to play with these guys today. And I said, are you out of your mind? I said, you know how much better we would all be? Back when I played, we had no weight coach. We had no strength coach. We had no agility coach. We didn't have a dietitian. We traveled and got to bed at 2 in the morning, got up at 6 to catch a commercial flight to go where. I mean, these guys have no idea how fortunate they are. But for somebody to say that we couldn't play today, with our knowledge of how to play the game the right way, and with all of the training techniques that are available and so sophisticated, all sports specific today, there is no way that we wouldn't be way better than we were when we played.
Well, and, I mean, Rick, you did it all basically until your last year without a three-point line. I mean, you dropped 36 in the league without a three. That's insane. If we could only play it back with you in modern times, oh, wow, that would be an incredible experiment. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. This was really, really good to catch up with you today. I got to tell you, I'm sure you don't remember this at all. A station ago, years ago, I was the new kid, and I came up to you in the hallway, and we were having a conversation about basketball, and I had a question about Shaquille O'Neal dominating Wilt Chamberlain. And you patted me on the head. You were like, oh, you're adorable. Let me tell you about basketball history. And you schooled me that day about Wilt Chamberlain. When you look back at the great players who, you know, don't get, you know, the recognition today because kids don't realize anything that happened longer than 15 minutes ago. We can't remember what we had for breakfast. Real quick list of players kids need to know more about, if you would, sir. Give me three or four names.
Well, Wilt Chamberlain, without question, greatest center ever played the game. He's done things that nobody will ever do. Nobody can even come with light years away from what he did. I mean, do you average 50 points a game? I mean, I had to think, could I score 13 more points a game in an 80-game season? I'm going, what? This is insane. I mean, absolutely insane. And people don't even realize. They talk about the always great rebounder Dennis Rodman is and all these other people. And you look at the numbers, and I heard about Moses Malone, who I got pleasure to play with, a new teammate of mine, who unfortunately has passed away. Well, he averaged 7 rebounds in this in one season doing that. Wilt Chamberlain for his career averaged 22.5 rebounds a game. 22.5. And then they didn't even have block shots then. There's no telling how many block shots he would have had or Bill Russell would have had. So I don't think he's ever gotten the recognition that he deserves. There's nobody even close to him as far as being the greatest center of all time in basketball. And I also think that Oscar Robertson doesn't get the credit that he deserves for as great a player as he was. I mean, he was a Magic Johnson before Magic Johnson, but he was an amazing, amazing player. And people don't talk about him anywhere near what they should. So, I mean, those are the two guys that would pop into my mind. Jerry West, of course, has always gotten a lot of great publicity, and Elgin Baylor and some of the other players. But those two players, I think, are the ones that I had the good fortune of playing against. I wish it would have been great to have played with them, but I got to play against them, and that was a great treat for me, for sure.
Rick, this was a great treat for us. Thanks for joining us today. If it were up to you to name the all-time greatest athlete in Bay Area history, what name pops in your mind first? There are no wrong answers. What would be your right answer?
Well, what number did I wear? I mean, it has to be my hero, my boyhood hero, Willie Mays. I mean, this is the guy I grew up watching. I know he wasn't maybe as great at all as the things that he did when he was first back in New York, but Willie Mays would have to be my guy here, I mean, without question. So, Joe Montana's got to be up there too. But, hey, Willie was my guy, 24. That's why I wore the number. I grew up as a better baseball player. I used to basket catch. My father taught me that basket catch, and all of a sudden this rookie comes up for the New York Giants, and he's catching it like that. Oh, this is going to be my guy. Hey, pretty good pick it turned out to be. And then here's the crazy. I got to be personal friends with my boyhood hero. Is this a great country or what? Seriously, think about that. As a young kid, your boyhood hero in sports at the professional level, you get to be personal friends with him and get invited to speak at his 80th birthday celebration. I said, he wants me to talk there? And they said, yeah, he really does. So I'm there with all these Hall of Fame baseball players at all the Bally's with like 2,500 people there in the audience. And they said, he wants you to talk first. He wants you to tell him your story. And so I did that. And I told my story of how I cut school and got to shake his hand before they went up to the polo grounds in the clubhouse, which went up the stairs, and cut school to do it. So I tell the whole story about it and all. But I get up there and do it. My first words out of my mouth at that event, this is, I know what every one of you is thinking right now. What the hell is he doing here?
Rick, thank you so much. It was great to catch up with you. Really appreciate it. Best to you and all the Barrys, wherever they may be. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. God bless you and their listeners. I hope everybody does well during this crazy time we're living in.